stirring. Don't forget the message is will be on Podbean this afternoon, and you can follow the message or in your life groups, go to YouVersion, you can grab the notes there. But right now, can we lift our hands to heaven? Can you make a declaration with me and say out loud, God, your word is my truth. My heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you take your seat? I had a riddle that I was going to share with you this morning, but I've chickened out. I generally laugh before I even get it out, and it's all, so, anyway. Yeah, now that I've mentioned it. I'll give it a go. You want to hear it? So there's 30, see, I've already wrecked it. There's 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? Yeah, John gets it. And you'll get it later. When you get it, laugh out loud so we all can laugh with you. 10. 10's the answer, all right? It's not the number 28. It's 28. Like, anyway. All good. All right. Who's been enjoying the theme of the month, the journey? It's been great, hasn't it? We've just learned so much. And remember Pastor Rick's first preach from here to there? And what I loved about it is when you get there, you're actually here again and God's taking you to there, another place, a new place in our world. And then he preached last Sunday, 7 Mile. How fantastic was that? And who was here Sunday night and heard Braden? Where did Braden come from? Oh my goodness. How good was that? He was here all along. The process to the promise. I loved it. And so I've called my message today, The Search Is On. The Search Is On. Did you know that you and I are so valuable, so important, that there is a spiritual search happening for our souls? Yeah. See, you thought that you were just on the journey of your life, but really there's principalities and powers all around, and they're searching to either destroy us or searching to lead us into our promise. Satan searches for ways in so that he can destroy our world in little cracks in our thinking, cracks in our emotions, in any area of in our heart attitudes. He looks for these cracks and he searches for them so that he can get in there and destroy us. But God, the Bible says, is searching in hope to find us living righteously. The devil makes plans to steal your joy, to kill you from the inside. See, we often look with our natural eyes and we're looking to the outward and we're looking at the things that are happening to us. But the devil sits back and he waits for a little crack in our attitudes and all this, and he gets in there and tries to kill us from the inside by taking our joy and destroy us. But God has plans to prosper us, not to harm, plans of a hope and plans of a future. So the search is on. There's a search all around us, and we're walking our journey day in and day out while the atmosphere all around, the spiritual realm, there's a search around our lives. And I love what the Apostle Peter, what he said. He was speaking to all of us when he said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking or searching for whom he may devour. He walks around like a roaring lion. He's not in a rush. Sometimes when we think of the spiritual realm and we think of the devil and all this stuff, it's like he's just trying to get in there all the time and destroy our world. He's always around us. No, he's cool. Originally, when I planned this message, I was actually going to get a big lighting effect going on in the auditorium, and I was going to walk around like a roaring lion. But anyway, I figured that I wouldn't be able to do that very effectively. So,
oh, yes, you could.
I'm sure I could. Have you ever had challenges in your world where God's been trying to use things in your life to grow your capacity? You know those moments that we all face when it's like the capacity of our mind and the capacity of our thinking isn't just up to the task at hand, where it just feels like we're being pulled this way and that way. Often people want more of us than what we can deliver. I think we all know what that feels like. You know, our family needs our time, our spouse needs our time, we need some personal time, our job or the church wants our time, and our friends want our time, and we've only got this much, and we just feel like we're being ripped apart. You know, what about emotionally? There's times in our life where we just don't emotionally feel equipped for what's at hand, for what's in our world and for what's around us. And what I've come to learn, I've walked through this, especially about probably 10 years ago, I went through a massive time where it just felt like the world was pulling me apart. I actually had no control over myself. And I learned that it's in these times of frustration. If you're a male in the house, we tend to lean towards anger. In these times, it's just part of the male makeup. We tend to go towards anger. And I remember getting frustrated and angry with life, angry with people around. And I learned a massive lesson that it's in these times that God wants to use these situations to grow our capacity and make us stronger and bigger for the things that He has before us. Because the truth is we are all leaders in this house. Did you know that? You're a leader. And we're called to lead in our community by sharing the gospel and bringing the message of life and hope and destiny and bringing grace into a world that there is no grace and bringing mercy and love where there is no love. So we have to lead. And to be a leader, our capacity and our thinking and our mentality must grow so that we can carry something that is powerful and supernatural beyond our abilities, because it's spiritual and it comes from heaven. So we have to grow as a people, and God wants to use these moments. So there's a search going on like a roaring lion. There's a fight in the spiritual realm for you and I to grow and to become the people, but also for the devil to destroy us. I love what Jesus said in John 4:23. He said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is searching." The Father is seeking such to worship Him. So when you read the scripture, you have to ask yourself, what is it to be a true worshiper in spirit and truth? And I think it's actually simple. I think it's the walk of faith. The walk of faith. See, it's the walking out the faith. Faith with works. Because faith without works is actually dead. So it's the walk of faith. Faith plus action. In other words, trust in His word in the good times and the not good times. To call upon His name in our times of need. It's to stay the course from here to there. It's to stay on that course and stay on that journey. Spirit and truth is the idea of heaven and earth overlapping. A bit of a theological teaching right now is, you know, the scriptures teach us heaven to come down to earth, but often we wait to die to go to heaven. But that's not actually the way that God's intended it. God's intended an overlap of heaven and earth. That's why we bring heaven down to earth. See, as we walk as saints with love and with authority and with grace and with mercy, we are taking attributes that are heavenly and we're placing them into our earthly life and sharing that around with the people around, heaven to earth. The trick is to remain focused on God and not on our troubles. I love a song that was written in 1922 from Helen Lemmel, and it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace." See, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, the troubles around us on our journey become strangely dim. Strangely, because I can't dim them. Only the supernatural, only the power of God, the Spirit of God can dim the troubles in our world. So the search is on. The devil wants to take us out, but God wants to call us sons and daughters. He wants to call us true worshipers. David said in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. See, you thought I was just preaching this morning. But while I've been speaking the word, staying focused on the shepherd, he has been preparing a table before me in the midst of my insecurity, in the midst of my struggle, my pain, my addiction. He's preparing a table before me. See, this table here, this is a table where we can get the comfort of the Lord into our world. It's at this table we find peace. We find understanding. See, the Bible says peace beyond. Peace beyond understanding. In other words, our understanding is no longer in ourselves. Our understanding is now in the guidance of our shepherd who prepared the table before me. See, your shepherd sits at this table in the midst. In the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of your cancer this morning, in the midst of your addiction today, he prepared a table for you. Why? To nourish your soul, to give you food and restoration, to give you hope and vision again, to set your eyes upon Jesus. You know, trials can be all around, but sometimes we miss this table. This is the reality of life, is because when we are out here and we are consumed and concerned by the things around our world, so we're consumed by the things that people might say to us. We're consumed by the gossip around us. We're consumed that right now I'm struggling with this sickness in my world. And while our mind remains on the sickness, what happens is our Father is preparing a table, but we can't see it because all we see is the things around. All we see is the struggle and the pain in that person and why did they do that? And before we know it, we're just going in circles like the Israelites did in the desert. They're going in circles because all they could see is they had no water. All they could see is they had no food. All they could see is their feet were getting worn out. They could just see hopelessness and they kept their minds focused and they missed what God had prepared before them in the midst of their trial, in the midst of your enemies this morning. But something great is happening right now in that very part of your journey that you're trying to walk through. There is a miraculous thing happening in your world right now. Church, can you see it? Can you see it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Where is our focus? Where is your heart focus? Where is your prayer focus? I said this to someone this morning, but often we come into prayer, and I love prayer. It's biblical. It's going to change your world. It's a necessity, and it works. But often our perspective when we become before the Father in prayer isn't right. See, often we go, God, help me with this trouble. That person, Lord God, just show them, Lord God. And Father, you know, I'm walking through this, and it's all about our woe. But what our prayer needs to be is, God, you said I'm a conqueror, so I take faith in you and I keep my eyes and my focus on the promise that you had for my life. You said one day I will speak. You said one day I will preach before man. You said one day I will lead people to Jesus. You said that I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. You said I'm victorious. You said I'm a child of God and that I'm the one that's going to bring the message of the gospel to this world and the people around. You said, Lord, that I'm a father that will lead my children into the ways of the Lord. Lord, you said that if I train them up in the ways of God, that they will never depart. So, Father God, my prayer is right now that you would fulfill your promise, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk towards it, and I'm not going to stay in my woe. See, we miss the table when we stay focused on the circumstance. That's a word for somebody this morning. Because for too long in your world, and says people here this morning, that you are seeing the issues around you. You are talking with people negative words. And your focus is not on the purposes of God, but on the problems you see. But those problems that you see in your world right now, God is wanting to use them to make you the person that He wants you to be, so that we can be a leader in this community and in this world. People need us to counter the joy to walk into the trials of our life. Because we know something the world doesn't. We know that in our trials, that's where I find God. That's where I find nourishment. That's where I find peace, is in our trials. I wonder, who is it that you've allowed to sit at your table? This morning I have many seats at this table. And the shepherd has prepared it for me. It's my table. But sometimes we allow other people, other spirits, to sit at our table. I wonder, why is it that at your table you've allowed anxiety to sit? Why at your table you've allowed fear to sit down at your table? Why is it that sometimes in our life hopelessness seems to be sitting at our table? When did that happen? When did that happen that we, who let, it's our table?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Why is discouragement sitting at your table this morning? Why are those voices that said, you can't be that person that you wish you would, that's just you, that's not God. He said that can come and sit at our table. Never let him sit there. But we do. Because the devil is walking around like a roaring lion. And all he needs is a little crack. All he needs is a negative thought. All he needs is for us to speak words that don't bring life but bring death. What do those words look like? Well, it's just like, my wife, she just doesn't get me. That's not life, that's death. And the devil goes, oh, I can jump on that one. So he comes, yeah, she doesn't get you. You deserve way better. And before you know it, you're starting to think things like, you know, I've had enough of this marriage. I need someone else in my world. And we forget that when two come together, they become one. And so you move that person on and you lose half of who you are. And you can never truly be restored on this earth again in that fulfillment that you desire. When did these things get the opportunity to sit at your table? So I think we probably all have somebody. I know that I've got things sitting at my table that while I've been preparing this message, I'm going, God, you know, where did that get it?
Yeah.
We've got things, people, attitudes sitting at our table. You know, some of us, no longer we're the only ones sitting here. So how do you know if you've got someone at your table? If you've allowed the enemy have a foothold? In the church realm, we all often call it a foothold, where the devil gets a foothold in our world. But all that means is there's a crack and he's looking to devour us. Well, you start to hear things like, you're never going to make it. You start to believe things like, you're not smart enough. Everybody is against you. How could I do anything good? If you're hearing things like this or entertaining these thoughts, you've given the enemy a seat at your table. The devil jumps all over our sickness, saying things to us like, how could God love you if he allows this to happen in your world? He jumps on our temptations and he says, just one more time, no one knows. God's a loving God. If he's really a loving God, he'll forgive you. Well, you're already a daughter and son of God, so he's already forgiven you. So it doesn't matter if you just do it again. What about our financial struggles? Well, he's not really a God of blessings, just a typical church just wanting our money. Marriage, he's just selfish. He doesn't understand me. I deserve better. We entertain negative comments we take up offense and we give offense a seat at our table. But the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. Anxiety does not lead me. The anxiety is not my shepherd. Doubt is not my shepherd. Hopelessness is not my shepherd. Fear is not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So we need to turn our attention from all these things, from the enemy coming around us, from the battle around us, and keep our attention on our shepherd. Because the Lord is our shepherd, and it's He that prepared this table, and they have no right to be sitting. See, when we allow these things come into our world, what we really do is we pull out the seat and we give the seat to a killer. Because the devil's out to destroy you, to devour you like a roaring lion. That's a killer. That's a killer. The Lord is my shepherd. I love the next part of that scripture. It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, when we allow God to shepherd us, we allow Him to make us. And then the glory goes to Him because we didn't make ourselves, because He is our shepherd. See, He makes us rest when we want to run away, to be quiet when we want to share our opinions and voice what we think, the way things should be. Turn the other cheek when we want to fight on. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Why? Because it's in the green pastures, or it's at the table, that He restores our souls. You know, when we fix our eyes on our shepherd, this is what we're really doing. We're saying, devil, you can't have a seat at my table. You no longer have a seat at my table. Because our eyes are on the shepherd. See, this is communion with our Heavenly Father. We sit down and we eat. I really want to eat this right now. It looks really good. We sit down with Him and we laugh. And we talk about the plans that He has for my life. We talk about the future that He has for me. And then we go, Father, but how do I get out of this? And He will say, I am the light. I am the way. And I am the truth. Keep your focus on me and I'll lead you out of this. And I'll make you better, more victorious than what you have ever imagined that you could be. Just keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things on earth will grow dim. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 1 says this. I learned this at school when I was young. It's probably the only thing I learned at school, but anyway, it's a good thing. It's the Word of God. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. See, what you might not have realized is that when you listen to those voices that aren't lifting up your leadership team, when you listen to the voices that are pulling down your brother and your sister in Christ, you're becoming a partaker of their world and what the devil is doing in their lives. And when we listen to the enemy that says you're not good enough and brings anxiety into your world, yeah, I do have a problem with depression. And when we start thinking and speaking like this, we become partakers of that. And what really is happening is we're taking a seat in the seat of the scornful. What we are doing is we're turning around what the Lord meant for good and we're using it for harm. What the Lord meant for restoration, we're creating a seat of debate. We're creating a seat of sin in our world. And we are inviting things and people and spirits into our world that are not heavenly. And we are single-handedly destroying what the Lord has been using to set us up, to make us successful in Him. The scripture says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. In other words, in His scripture, we read it and we meditate on it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. See, that's the promise of God for us, that in due season, right now we're in our journey, right now we're sitting at the table, and then eventually in due season we will prosper. In due season we will prosper. Whatever we do will prosper when we are doing it in the name of the Lord and in his restoration, not in our own strength. Then it continues, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but of the ungodly shall perish. See, Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. We can't do this in our own strength. We must sit at this seat. We must be in communion with our shepherd. We must gaze into his eyes and find rest in the, you know, in the midst of your trial, whatever you're going through. It could be sickness, it could be family struggles, whatever it is right now, there is a table prepared for you. And at that table is the peace of the Lord. It's the grace and it's the rest of God. In that table is restoration for you to make you stronger and bolder. See, the Bible says that the Spirit of God gives us what we need in the times of trouble. Don't be worried about what to wear. Don't be worried about what to say. In other words, I've prepared a table before you. If you will just see it, keep your gaze on me, you will be restored and you will be the victor that you need to be. Keep your eyes on me. I am the light of the world. I am the future. I am your hope. See, we all want to see the light, but we aren't prepared to be in the tunnel. Because there's a tunnel at the end of, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But none of us are prepared to go through that tunnel. And what happens is we stand back and we say, God, deliver us from the tunnel. But he says, it's in the tunnel that you will see the light. And so we are sitting back going, God, I don't want to go through this issue. I don't want to go through this sickness. I don't want to go through these problems in my family. But he is saying, trust and keep your eyes upon me and I will lead you into this tunnel and in the valley of the shadow of death. But you will see a light and it's called me. And at the end of that table, I will restore you. I will lift your head up high and we will walk through into your victory. The light is in the tunnel. Before the tunnel, all we see is the problem. All we see is the issue and we can't see the light. We must walk through because that's where God makes us. The devil tries to break us, but God is going to use what he purposes for evil. He's going to turn all things around for good for those who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. He will try and break you, but our God is going to make you the man and the woman that you need to be. Do you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If they didn't go into the fire, into the furnace, if they didn't walk into the fire, they would never have stood beside Jesus Christ. Because the story is that there was four men in there, not three, and the fourth was Jesus, the Son of God. They would never have walked side by side with Jesus. Who needs Jesus walking with them today? Well, it's in the furnace that we find the truth of who he is, the love of God. They walked out of that furnace and they led a whole generation to God. They turned all their idols around and said, their God is the one true God. And everyone had to worship Jesus. Wow. Yeah. That's the power of what God wants to do as we are walking through our journey. Yeah. If I could have the worship team come up and join me right now, please. I love how Psalms 23 didn't say, you prepare a table before me in your presence. That's how I love the scripture to read. You prepare a table before me in your presence, Lord, in the presence of God. It doesn't say that. It says in the presence of the enemy. You know why? God wants his presence in the presence of our enemy. God wants his presence in the presence of our enemy. You and I are the carriers of the presence of God. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's in the temple that the presence of God is found. We are the carriers of the presence of God in the presence of our enemy. Billy Graham made this famous. He said, to be in the world and not of the world. Be in the world but not of the world. To be carriers of the presence of God. In other words, God wants us to bring his presence into the midst of our situations. To be an example of life where there is death. To show joy where there is no joy. To example love where there is no love. To be a person full of peace where there is no peace. You know, have you ever been asked, how come you can stay composed when you're struggling with issues? How come you come to work every day? You just seem happy, full of joy, even though you tell us stories of the things you're going through, but you just seem to be all right. It's because we are carriers of the presence of God in the midst of our situation. A table has been prepared. So church, the search is on, and I'm wondering today, will you be a person that tries your best to continually refocus on your shepherd? To keep your eyes off the issues and keep them on Jesus, on the mission of the gospel, on hope, and on the love and the purposes of God? Will you be that person today? If there's anything I would love you to take home from today's message, it's simply, don't give the devil a seat at your table. Don't give the devil a seat at your table. Before you know it, God will lead you through more equipped and more faith-filled than you have ever been before. God has great plans for your life. And if we could all stand in the presence of God. This message has become more real to me than ever before as I've been preparing. And I've just noticed so many areas in my own life where on a daily basis I've been able to say to that thought, that feeling, the thing I'm wrestling with, you do not have a seat at my table. Go away from me. Get behind me, Satan. Because you do not have a seat at my table. This table was prepared before me in the presence of my enemies. And I keep my eyes and my gaze focused on the shepherd, on Jesus who restores my life. Church, in all of our circumstances, God wants to give you the boldness, the power, the authority to stand up and say, devil, you do not have a seat at my table. My table. See, it is your table and you can give that seat. Why don't we change our perspective and give the seat only to people that speak life into our world? Only to people that say, you know what, Graham, you can do it. You know what, you are above and not beneath. You're a conqueror. The Bible said that you're victorious. You can do this. We can get through this. I'll stand with you in prayer. I'll fast with you for a week. We can do this together. That's the people that we give a seat at our table. And we get built up together as the church community, ready to go out and bring the love of God into their journeys, that only the love of God can be the answer to. We are the carriers. You know, if we could close our eyes right now, I'm about to open up the altar this morning. If you feel in your life right now that you have given the devil a seat at your table, if you've given anxiety a seat at your table, and you're saying today enough is enough. If you've given that addiction a seat at your table, today we say enough is enough. If you've given fear a seat at your table, enough is enough. If you've given anxiety a seat at your table, well, guess what? Enough is enough. If you've given gossip a seat at your table, today enough is enough. Because we are the church, the house of the loving God, the God that restores our soul. Today, he wants to give you some fruit and some bread for your soul, to restore you, to build you up, and to fill you with the goodness and the love of Jesus Christ. So if that's you this morning, this altar is open. I would love you to come out. And as you walk out, I believe it's just us simply saying, God, today I leave this thing at your altar before your feet this morning. And when I get up and I walk walk back, I'm going to walk back victorious. So if that's you this morning, as the team leads us in worship, why don't you come out this morning and make that bold declaration. Today, I say enough is enough in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Church, you can be praying as the team leads us in worship this morning.